Now, what does that mean? So Antoninus Charlus Rabenu, Antoninus, who was the emperor of Rome, and he was a close friend with Rabenu, with Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So he asked him, Amar lei mahu dichsiv, what does this pasuk mean, imshotya mispisom? What is it referring to? Omar Rabbi. Rabbi says it means like this. He explains with an analogy. He says, Gizor de Yosef Meya Magalvin, for who Yehivin Meya Dinarim. So he says like this. It's a king who decrees on someone that he should receive 100 lashes. 100 Megalvin is 100, well, it's the lashes, and it's the strap, literally. And he will give that person 100 dinarim. Dinar per strap, at 100 or not. So, Dein Sechum Ledein, V'Dein Sechum Ledein. This amount is for this one, and this amount for this one, which means that I'm going based on the Matnas Kahuna's interpretation here. The amount of lashes is consistent with the amount of dinarim. If you receive 100 lashes, you get 100 dinarim. If you don't receive 100 lashes, you don't get anything. Now, whoever is going to absorb these lashes cannot absorb all of them. They're going to have to stop in the middle, or he's going to die at some point. Therefore, he gets nothing. And Malka, no, not a Beis Din. This is a mashal. A king is giving a man lashes. This is not Malkus. Yeah, so for whatever reason, he's giving him a challenge. 100 lashes, 100 dinar. That's all. But most people can't survive that. Very few can. So, v'lomafkin miyadei klum. He won't get anything out of the person because the person is either not going to be able to survive it, or he's not going to live. So he gets nothing. So it's just the choisek. Somebody is going to undertake that, going to bite off more than he can chew. So b'kayinyin hazeh maligalamuka. So that in that way, they will be make fun. They will be scorning the one who took these lashes, because he really took them for nothing. He gets no money out of it, and he might not even live. He might be permanently maimed. Who knows? God forbid. So he's going to get nothing. So the point is here. The Matnas Kahuna explains nobody can is able to accept suffering according to what they can do, and remain they'll remain scorned and made fun of because they took suffering for nothing. So on that it says, "Lemisas nikiim yilag." The one will scorn the punishment of those that are innocent. Now, what does that mean? So Rav Acha says, "Bisho shehatzadikim yoshvim b'shalva." When tzaddikim are living in tranquility and want to remain living in tranquility in this world, hasotan bo makatrig, the sotan comes and he persecutes, and he says, lo dayin shum esukan lehem lo olam haba, ela she mevakshim leishiv b'shalva b'olam hazeh. Isn't it enough that they have olam haba, they want tranquility in this world? And Teda Lachashu Kane, you should know that's how it was. That's Yaakov Avinu's story. Yaakov Avinu, Al Yidei Shebikesh Leshev B'Shalva Boilam Azeh, he wanted to live in tranquility in this world. Nizdavik Lo Sitno Shel Yosef, he had the Satan of Yosef. He had others, but now he thought he's coming to his own. He had Yaakov suffering was with Esav, but now he's at peace with Esav. I mentioned this chazal yesterday, that this chazal fits in with what we learned yesterday. Yaakov Avinu settled with Esav. He kept him at bay. He knew he's not going to be a problem anymore. So and Esav was out of Israel, which Yaakov was more than thrilled about. So he thought, I'm going to have a peaceful life now. That's gone. That's finished. That's gone already. He has his children, he has his wives, he's finished with Lavan, he's finished with Esav, so he wants a peaceful life at this point. However, Vayeshev Yaakov, Yaakov settled, so here it says, he brings another pasuk also in Eiv, Lo shalafti, I was not tranquil, v'lo shakati, I wasn't quiet. What are these two lashonos are about Yaakov? Lo shalafti me Esav, lo shakatati mi Lavan, v'lo nachti mi Dina. It says, v'lo nachti vayovo roges. So the lo shalafti is no tranquility after Esav, or I didn't have in the past tranquility from Esav. I wasn't tranquil from Lavan. I had no respite from because of Dina. Then vayovo roges, anger came, ba'alai rogzo shel Yosef. The anger of Yosef came upon me. What time is it now? That's all? Oh, it's early. Quicker than I thought. Means I wasn't late. I thought I was late. Okay, so that's what it basically says over here. So the point is that the mashal began that challenges, if we undertake a challenge that we can't handle, it's scornful. But God doesn't bring scornful challenges on us. Sometimes we think the days of our challenges are over, but they're not over. And that's what happened with Yaakov. It doesn't mean you shouldn't want to have tranquil things, but it means you always have to be open that you will be challenged with something. As they like to say in America, there's never a dull moment. Yaakov Avinu could have written the book on that. Now, I don't understand it as a punishment, although when I was younger I thought it meant that. I just think it's a reality. Yeah, first of all, you never know. That's on the simple level. And the lesson is more than that, that we're not necessarily meant to have everything go well for us. When everything's going well for someone, usually there's something very wrong with that picture. We all have tzaras, and we all have people, whether the tzaras are mishaps happen, whether the tzaras are somebody doesn't like what we're doing or somebody disagrees, those are all mishaps in life, and they mean very little as far as trying to size up who somebody is.
Yeah. The last years of Avram's life, the Yitzhak's life, were, I forget how you say in Russian Kurdish, but they were promised that it would be good, and eventually Yaakov's work, and so was he a lot looking forward to that? Maybe that's what could we say he's looking forward to.
Yeah, you could say that. Yeah, you can say that, but that doesn't change anything that we said. Mm-hmm. What Yaakov was thinking, he could have thought that he had the do in his life of everything. Although there is a remist in the Gra, in Parshas Toldos, that Rivka said to him, when he asked Rivka, how am I going to go? What'll be if my father feels me and then he'll see that I came in as Esav and I'm really Yaakov? What's that going to be all about? What's going to happen? So she gave him the garments of Esav to put on. But she answered him, Olai kilolascha b'ni, on me. Olai is on me is your curse. Now, the Gros says, where was there a curse to Rivka? So he says, Olai is an acronym. It's a Rashi, an abbreviation. Ayin is Esav, Lamed is Lavan, and Yud is Yosef. So she was saying, Esav, Lavan, and Yosef are going to be your curse, my son. In other words, Yitzchak, your father, is not going to bring on you a curse. Yaakov said, maybe my father will feel me and I'll be like disingenuous to him and I'll bring on myself a curse and not a blessing. So she said, no, a lie is your curse. Esav Lavan in Yosef, not Yitzchak. That's a very famous scraw. I saw that as a child yet. So there was a nevuah, and then the Gra adds to it that later on, when they wanted Binyamin to remain in Egypt, when they didn't know who Yosef was, in next week's parsha. No. When Binyamin, they wanted to take Binyamin to Egypt, and Yosef insisted, bring Binyamin here. And then when they came and told Yaakov, he said, what do you want? His brother's not here anymore. And he said, olai hoyu kulono. All of what was on me was olai. Where does Binyamin come in? I had Esav, Lavan, and Yosef. Okay, all three happened. That was supposed to be my whole curse. Why is Binyamin getting involved here? That's what the Gra says, to project his idea. That was what Yaakov meant when he said, on me is everything. The simple way is, I'm having another suffering even now. You know, Yosef is gone and now it's Binyamin too. But what it means is, olai hayu kulana, on me was everything, was Esav, Lavan, and Yosef. That already all happened. What's this story here that they want to abduct Binyamin from me? That's what he didn't get. But so he already knew that there was, when he realized the olai meant these three, could be later when Yosef was missing. Maybe he looked back and he realized what Rivka said. I don't know. I wasn't there. I have no way to know. But if you'll say like that, I mean, he wanted to live peacefully until this point. He said, I suffered enough. I was in exile. I had to live with a Lavan in exile. I had an encounter with Esav and a threat of Esav for 20 years. That's all behind me. Now we're living peacefully, and hopefully it'll stay that way. You know, that was what he wanted. There's nothing wrong with that. When a Yaakov wants to live in peace and tranquility in this world, it's so that he could focus on spiritual growth. Many of us want, on whatever level we're on, wherever we came from, we want spiritual growth. And sometimes before this kollel was around, this isn't meant as a plug for anybody, but if it works, it works. But sometimes we're busy and we don't have time available or opportunities, and we wonder, we wish we could grow more. You hear that from people all the time. And so Yaakov Avinu wanted the peace, not, you know, just to shoot the breeze. He wanted it to shoot the spiritual breeze. And that's what he wanted. But, you know, such a tzara to come in his time, such a monkey wrench into his plans, that, of course, he didn't anticipate. Okay, maybe we'll stop over here now. Get ready for Mincha Shekhachan and Mazel Tov again. Yeah.
Good question. Rabbi, I went to see Rabbi Unger. He was talking about the differences between Yosef and Yehuda.